I'm going to ask you to open your Bible with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, and we're going to get a few thoughts from verses or chapters 19 and 20. And after I put this message together this past week, and I guess I had an outline before that, but I didn't have a title for it. And I said, Lord, what would you like me to call this message? What title should I give it? And I believe he gave me a good one. God doesn't negotiate. Did you know that? God doesn't negotiate. And we're going to look at this. First, we start off with this rich man in chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew. And he thought that he could reason his way to heaven and to salvation. He says, look, I do all of these things. He comes to the Lord and he says, I keep the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, honor father, mother, and so on. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to Christ, all these things I've kept from my youth. What now do I lack? Well, there's a problem there. The Lord gave him a straightforward answer, which I think was a little bit sarcastic, but it pointed out his deficiency. You see, what really happens is that he could not keep those things. There's an old saying, if you want to go to heaven, keep the commandments. And Christians say, oh no, that's not true, but they're wrong. It is true. If you keep the commandments, you will go to heaven. But now that's if you keep the commandments. The catch is, nobody is capable of keeping the commandments. And if you even think you are, take those that are here right now. Thou shalt not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Well, we all know what murder is. We all know what adultery is. We know what stealing is. And some people might be here able to say, oh, I don't do any of those. I've never stolen anything from anybody. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder anybody. Until you hear how the Lord defines it. You have heard that it hath been said, you shall not commit adultery. I say to you, if you look at a woman to desire her, to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. Jesus had an entirely different way of interpreting this thing. Thou shalt not murder. The Lord says, if you don't love your brother, if you hate anybody, you've committed murder. You see what I'm driving at? So when we put Christ's application or interpretation to the law, we didn't have a chance much before that, because some of the main ones he didn't mention here, like, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, etc. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. You know, how many of you love your neighbor just as much as you love you? I am going to suggest to you, I got some good neighbors and I love them. But of all my neighbors, as the old saying goes, of all my father's children, I still love me the best. You know how that goes. So we cannot keep the commandments. Let's face it, if we're going to go to heaven by keeping the commandments, we're all going to miss the boat. So the Lord gave him another solution. And we find that in verse 21 of chapter 19. Jesus said to him, well, now look, young man, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Jesus was really laying it on the line to him. The way of salvation is not negotiable. You can't talk your way out of this. First, it means a total dedication. That's what Jesus was saying to this man. It means you give up yourself. You know, the old scripture, it says, deny yourself. I used to wonder about that. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Lord, what do you mean by that? Do you mean I go out and say, hey, folks, I don't exist? No, that's not what he means at all. He's simply saying, you deny yourself of the right to yourself, of the authority to run your own life. Sell all that you've got. Everything that you would claim is yours, get rid of it. Sell it and then come and follow me. It calls for a total dedication of life to him. Negotiable? No, not really. If you're going to be a Christian, there is no such thing as being a half a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, it means that somewhere along the line, you have to totally dedicate your life to the glory of God. You're going to give yourself completely in obedience, in submission to Him. That's what the Lord is saying. And the way of salvation is come. Don't run, don't go someplace else. Come, Christ speaking, come and follow me. And if we're ever going to get to God's heaven, we've got to know that that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to come to Him and we're going to follow Him. Now, let's look on. The first thing then that's not negotiable, and I'm going to suggest don't try to negotiate God's way of salvation. A lot of folks have other things and other ideas, and they say, well, now, I'm going to go to church all the time, and that'll do it. Nope, that won't do it. You can go to church until you freeze in the church, and you'll still go to hell if you haven't come to Jesus Christ, and I'm not following Him. No, not negotiable at all. Then, another thing that's not negotiable is the basic principles of the Lord. God's principles, divine principles. Come, follow me. We like to substitute that. Lord, I don't really have to become fanatic about Christ. I don't have to do everything He wants me to do like that. Certainly, if I just be a good moral person and go to church every once in a while and treat my neighbors right, listen, it's not negotiable. Come, follow me. Verse 21 points that out. No wonder the fellow then asks in verse 25, who then can be saved? The disciples heard that and they figured, well, wait a minute, if that's the way it's going to be, if it's not negotiable, people's reason don't enter into it, people's works don't enter it, then who can be saved? The Lord's answer was simple, but profound. With man, that's true. With God, all things are possible. My friend, I hope you're on your way to God's heaven. I hope all of us are. I hope we'll all have a great gathering and a meeting time up there. But you know, if you don't make it there, it won't be because it wasn't possible. But it'll be because it was possible only with God. He says, come, follow me. I think of some of the commandments. For instance, it says, be ye holy, even as I, the Lord, am holy. Can you do that? Do you think you can be as good as God? Now, you can be better than your neighbor, maybe, but you can't be as good as God. Therefore, to be holy as God is holy is an impossibility to us. But it becomes possible when the Lord gives us His holiness. And here's a thought that I got many years ago, and I've said it over and over again. I want to say it again. I hope the truth of it grabs our souls. Whatever God demands of us, God supplies for us. God demands holiness. We don't have it. So God sent His Son down here, the holy, spotless, sinless Son of God, and He lived His life on this earth, the first and the only man that ever walked topside this earth, bottom side of heaven, who never, ever committed sin, not even thinking a sin. We can't even imagine how holy that is. But Jesus Christ, as God, was holy. He didn't have to ask forgiveness for any sin. When He wanted to talk with the Father, He communed with Him directly. When we want to talk with the Father, we got to go through Him. Because He has the access to the Father. He is now our way to God. And that means if you want to be saved, if you're not a child of God today, you don't have that assurance, and you want to know you have it, you've got first to come to Jesus and ask Him to cleanse your life and ask Him through His cross work to save you. He took the punishment and the penalty of your sins. Now, who then can be saved? Listen, let's not even question God. God's knowledge is supreme. Let's not question Him. What God demands of us, He will supply. If God wants you to be in church on Sunday morning, guess what? He'll give you the health to be in church on Sunday morning. He'll make it possible to be there. Now, if when God makes it possible you don't come, never mind. I'll leave that one hanging. Another thing that's not negotiable is His will. A lot of folks think that the will of God is something we can move around and negotiate a little bit. I'm going to submit to you several things about the will of God. Because God is the, and I can't exalt Him enough, and I hope you have Him exalted in your heart too. He is the omnipotent, the almighty, the omniscient, the all-knowing. He is the infinite, no limitation to Him. He is the eternal. He's not bound by times. Clocks don't mean a living thing to Him. Days and months and years mean nothing to God. 1,000 years like a day to Him. So that because He's all of these things, and this is His basic nature, this is His basic character, He is the almighty, infinite, holy, absolute, supreme God of the universe. And because of that, whatever He determines, and because He's also truth and honesty, then whatever God determines, whatever His will is, you can depend upon it. His will is always the best. He can run your life much better than you could ever hope to run it yourself. You could hire a slew of professors, doctors, psychologists, and you name it, and put them all together, pay them dearly to advise you, and God can run your life better than the whole slew of them put together. Because His will is always the best. And what's more, God is generous with us. He loves us. Talk about love, we're talking about infinite love, absolute love. So with God, who is a God of love, who wants to bless us, who wants to help us, who wants to save us, well, we're in very good shape here. Then the old statement comes, if you serve Jesus, it pays. How do they put it? It pays to serve Jesus. We have a chorus to that effect. Now that's a true statement. It pays to serve Jesus. Thousands of folk have found that out. It pays plenty to serve Jesus. I didn't mean money necessarily. For some of us who are in the work of the Lord, that's one of the areas that we have a little problem in. We don't have problems sometimes getting into certain areas or doing other things, but getting the money we need to do the things, that's sometimes tight. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord's going to pay in money, but I'll tell you, I've been preaching this word now for over 50 years, and there's one thing that I have learned. The word says, my God shall supply all your need. And I'm here today, why? Because God has supplied our need. Now, had He said, my God shall supply all your wants, I think I wouldn't be able to give it to you like that. Because there are a lot of things that I'd want that I never got, and that I still want, and I don't get. Though He does, in His grace, give us some of the things we want, but He does promise, and He does fulfill by meeting our need. God meets our need. If, on the other hand, you take that concept and you say, well now, The thing that I'm going to do is to serve the Lord so that I can get paid. You know, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to serve Jesus because it pays, it may not pay. The reason is, true service to the Lord is reckoned from the heart, not from the hands and not from the feet. Your motive in serving the Lord is of absolute importance to God. How you do it in the heart is of absolute importance to God. And so you'll find that these fellows in chapter 20, as we get into Matthew chapter 20, and the landlord is sending out some workers into his vineyard. He said to the first guy, they made an agreement. The laborers went out. He says, look, you work for a day, and I'll give you a denarius. That's the contract. He made a contract with them. So I'm going to call that worker, or those workers, workers number one, group number one. And they made a contract with the Lord. Does the Lord keep his contracts? Sure he does. When the end of the day came, what did they get? A denarius. They sure did. But then he went back out again at this third hour, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And he made other contracts, not contracts this time. He said to those, if you look at it in the verses that we read together, he went out and he said, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. No agreement. What did they do? They trusted him. He went to some at the 11th hour. Remember, in those days, it was a 12-hour day. Not like today's 8-hour day. It was a 12-hour day. He went to some at the 11th hour. And he says, you go and whatever is right, I will do it. They didn't question him. They went out and they worked for the last hour. Now, the Lord did something that I think he did it very deliberately. Look at verse 9. When those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received 1 denarius. The same thing he promised to those who worked all day. And I believe he told the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, but first start with the ones who came last. I wondered why he did that. Because God was going to demonstrate to everybody that was there, they were all waiting to get their wages, that he was going to be just as generous to the last ones as he was to the first. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ may come at any minute, but there are some of us who have been saved for many, many, many years. And then maybe the preaching of the gospel today will bring a few folk more into the kingdom of God. Is your heaven going to be better than theirs? Do you see what I'm driving at? He is going to have the same reward for those who get saved now as for those who got saved 60 years ago. He had the same reward for those who came in at the 11th hour as those who came in at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they couldn't quite get it. So they began to fuss and began to complain. But group number 4 got the same as group number 1 in the parable, and they got angry about it. Now, that brings me to the next thought. Don't investigate God's decision. If God makes a decision, if God says something, don't bother to investigate it to find out whether it's fair or not. Just know he is God, and he does what is best, and he has absolute knowledge about everything. He knows everything about everything all the time. So you can trust his judgment on this matter, and what's more, his judgments are wise, and they're personal. God's judgment may be for each individual a little bit different. He has given gifts to each one of us in accordance as he dictates, not what we might feel like. If I were to ask the Lord, I might say sometimes, Lord, give me the gift of great music. Well, I don't think you'd want to hear me sing too much, but he gave me a different gift. And he's given you a different gift, and he's given gifts to every one of us. They're wise. He paid the last one first, so that everybody could see how generous he is to those who would work without a contract. What are we saying? The key word is trust. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you're going to trust him all the way. You're going to just simply go out there because he wants you to do it, because you know he wants you to do it, and do it. Trusting him. And then the reward will be sure. Now, the sixth thing that I want to mention. Don't let envy ruin God's workings in your life. And that happens so often. Brother so-and-so, he got so-and-so, and I did the same thing, and I only got, you know, we fuss and complain. The heart of man, desperately wicked, above all things deceitful. And sometimes we don't like to see others get certain things that we didn't get. And that's exactly what happened to group number one. When the 11th hour folks got the same as they got, they came in complaining, fussing and fuming. These last men have worked only 1 hour and you made them equal to us. We've borne the burden and the heat of the day. The Lord looked at them. He saw their envy. And his answer was simple. I don't owe you anything. You agreed with me to work for the day for 1 denarius. I kept my part of the deal. I gave you the denarius. Now, can't I do for these whatever I feel like with what is mine? Do you get the picture there? You serve the Lord faithfully. You do what God wants you to do faithfully. Leave it to the Lord to give you the reward that He's going to give you. If you're just going to work to get the reward, you may not get it. But if you're going to work because you are going to be faithful to Him, because you love Him, because you trust Him, watch out. Your reward is sure. The Scripture says He is no man's debtor. So what's the concern in all of this that we learn? First, what God does for us, that's our reward. What He does for others, that's His concern, not ours. You don't have to get jealous or envious over the blessings of the Lord on another person's life. Just you serve the Lord. And then get the lesson that God is sovereign. He's absolutely holy. He's just. He's almighty. Therefore, in that prerogative, God does as He pleases, and He does what He pleases, and what He pleases, you believe, you have the faith, it's always right. If we could really accept that, it might change our mode of thinking. It might make us happier in a lot of the things. So you run into a stone wall, you run into problems, we all do from time to time. But if you really accept that, you will simply be able to say, Lord, I don't know about the stone wall, but you know it's there. You allowed us to run into it, and so I'm going to ask you by your grace to show it to me, take care of me, and leave it with Him. God is to be trusted, and He is to be worshipped. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads with me now for a moment as we seek God's blessings upon this message. And Father, You have spoken through Your word to us. May we recognize that You're not in the business of negotiating with men, that You've given us Your way of salvation. You've given us Your divine principles. You've given us Your knowledge. You've given us Your will. Help us, Lord, to receive and to accept that, and not to investigate what You're seeking to do and to try to make out that it should be something else. Help us not to be envious about the other brothers' or sisters' gifts. Help us to let God be God and to let Him execute His will in our lives. Help us to learn the sovereignty, the almightiness, the absoluteness of the God whom we serve, so that we'll honor and glorify Him forever. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just keep your head bowed for a moment before the Lord, and with your heads quietly bowed, in an attitude of prayer, let's check your own heart now. I am going to assume that most of us recognize that the way of salvation is not negotiable, and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. I'd like to say, I hope that all of us, and I check your own heart as we say, and I'm checking mine. Have you assumed that the principles of the Word of God are negotiable? That you could try to alter them in any way? Then if you know some principle in the Word of God that God has said, but you don't like it too much, it fights your flesh, and so you want to try and change it. May I submit to you that you not try? That instead you let the Lord have His way in your life and in your heart? Would you do that? Then do it right now. That's done, by the way, in the quietness of your heart. It's done right where you are, right now. In the silence of your own life, you can come to the Lord and you can allow Him to run your heart, run your life. And then, as you look at your fellow brethren, your fellow sisters. Some of them are prospering in situations that you don't think they should prosper. But you don't know all that there is to know. God does. Could you let God execute His will in their lives as you want Him to execute His will in yours? You know what that does? It brings ill will between Christians, between folks. And God does not like that. He tells us that. Oh, how pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He does what He pleases among men. And what He pleases is always right. God is to be trusted, believed, and worshipped. Oh, may the Lord help us to really do that today. Father, that may be the prayer of every heart, that You will allow us and help us to worship You, to accept You as You are, and to be at Your call, doing Your will to Your honor, to Your glory, and to our satisfaction. We ask it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.